auto mechanics teacher at Porterville, at one of the high schools in Porterville, and he has a drag racing program going.
Oh, yeah.
He's a drag racer himself. But the class gets to help work on the car and this and that and learn about it and so on and so forth. And the Hot Rod reunion just ended this past weekend at Famosa.
Huh.
But yeah, he gets them involved in the car and some of them go to the track with him when he races. And
yeah, I was trying to think of which teacher, if it was him that, because I did some stuff for Porterville High School when I was out there. What was that? They were talking about starting a racing team or something like that. It might have been when that first started, like 10 years ago.
I don't think anything has started until here fairly recently.
Well, maybe they had some other kind of team, but I remember doing something for them.
Yeah, Team BB owned B&B Transmission.
Right, and I'd heard different stories about their racing, and then...
And he was a... Tim was partnered with, what was his name? BB and Mulligan.
Hmm.
Tim was the crew chief, Mulligan was the driver, and Mulligan died in a racing accident, and Tim totally retired after that. But then he got back to dabbling in it, and he was crew chiefing a sand rail.
Yeah.
And the owner of the sand rail, which this... He was a kid. He was like 17, 18 years old that drove it. But the family covered it. And they were doing really well on the sand. I think they were actually a national champion at one time. And they decided to go to Famosa, to the old fuel and gas championships for the hot rod. I think it was still the Fuel and Gas Championships. And they had nothing but fuel issues all week. Their car, an engine explosion, made the front page of the Bakersfield paper. I mean, it was just massive explosion. And I remember getting down there early Sunday morning with one of my friends, and Tim had stayed up all night going through this entire fuel system, had that thing tore completely apart and put back together, and there was going to be a little window of runs that morning. And he was hoping to get a run in to see if he got the problem fixed.
Mm-hmm.
This kid and one of his buddies come rolling in. This kid lifts a beer up about 8 o'clock in the morning. And Tim quit right there.
Yeah.
You know, he'd stayed up all night working on this friggin' car, and this kid comes rolling in drinking a beer at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
I think that was probably the last car he ever worked on.
Hasta la bye-bye.
But he quit right on the spot. But he said sand drags were so much different than asphalt drags. Said asphalt drags, you tear the motor apart every run. On the sand, you tear the rear end apart every run. Because they only race 100 yards.
Yeah.
Not long enough to hurt the motor.
Right.
You know?
Well, and you have that sand also that's, you know, the tires kicking through the sand.
These top fuel sand dragsters, I went to a sand drag. It was really boring to watch because
it had dual paddles on that thing. How wide were the freaking? Would that tire be like the size of this couch? It was.
they were like that wide each, and holy it was dual cow. On each side.
Wow, that's a lot of traction.
Tell me about it.
Oh man.
But it was kind of boring to watch.
It's like a little
when
tiny
those cars
sprint.
Ran. Because a pair of cars would run, it'd take like freaking 1 second.
Right.
Then it took 15 minutes for them to smooth the track back out for the next pair.
Oh.
You know? Because, shit, they'd dig ruts that deep. But they were freaking awesome to watch.
Oh, man.
Yeah, dual, like, 18-inch paddles. They had 36 inches of paddle
right
on each side of the car.
That's some grip, man.
You know, friggin' paddles that tall?
Yeah.
But, shit, they dig a rut.
Hell yeah.
A foot deep.
It's because they got a shovel going 1,000 miles an hour. At nuclear speeds.
Yeah.
That's one heck of a shovel.
Like Tim said, it was rebuilding the rear end. They were run in the sand. On the asphalt, you rebuilt the motor ever run.
They yeah. probably only run 100 yards because otherwise they'd never get any racing done if you had to clear a whole quarter mile.
Well,
they don't have enough tractors. I bet you could build a nice little dedicated tractor that could... After they run, could go and just pull all that stuff back. Yeah, I've watched some of those guys online. Like,
well, I've seen it live once.
Yeah,
and that was in the Bakersfield.
Oh yeah,
the river that runs through Bakersfield.
Oh wow, that would be something to see.
Yeah, it was pretty neat, but.
Oh, we still need to get to some freaking races, man. I can't believe it's been this long. We haven't gone to any races at all.
Yeah, I know. And the next to the last NASCAR races in Phoenix. That's not the race this weekend, but the next one.
That'd be awesome if we could go to that.
Oh, it's probably already sold out.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, is that the last one? I can't remember if the race this weekend is the first in the final round, because there's like three races that determine the final four, and then it's a one-way shootout between them.
Oh.
And I think tomorrow might be the... No, actually, it is the second race, because it's... It's at Texas today, Texas Motorplex, or this weekend.
Yeah.
And then it's Phoenix, and then Homestead, which is the end.
Okay.
Homestead's the...
So the end in Homestead and start in Daytona?
Well, Daytona is basically the start, yeah.
Daytona Speed Weeks.
Yeah.
Huh. So they start and end in Florida. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that Daytona is their Super Bowl race and it's the first basic.
I know, right? Let's start off, forget the playoffs, let's start off with the final biggest race.
Yeah, let's play the Super Bowl first and then go down.
Yeah, and then we'll go into playoffs. Racing with Mike.
Yeah, my coffee was set up in the morning, I'd appreciate it.
I set up this morning, didn't I?
Well, no, I'm off to the market tomorrow.
Oh, you mean the timer.
Mean the timer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll push that button for you.
Make us a pot of coffee.
Because I ain't had that one the last full week in two markets.
I will, Ma.
Do what?
Mm-hmm.
bet that really fucked up.
Did you see that picture that Andy posted about the where the in Bell, Colorado, where it just looked like a medium dusting of snow on the mountain?
Yeah, I've seen water.
Almost real pretty.
Okay, next weekend is Veterans Day. Not tomorrow, but next Saturday. And that's when the freight comes. That's when the freight comes down in. They put the call up on the sidewalk, the ones of us that decide to go. A lot of them are wrong on there. Because you're going to have freight watchers standing in front of the road moves around the freight. I ain't seen a parade in a while, so I thought I'd do it.
Yeah.
Say bye, bye, how, how. Hello, psst, I love you, Sylvia.
steam it. Ha. They have a brand new interface. It looks minty fresh. It's really a lot of fun. And I took this last week kind of off from it. And then I came back and they had done a complete refresh on things, and the busy.org project has moved into the public beta phase, and it's interesting. I've reached 700 followers now on Steam, Steemit, which translates into the other portals that you look at the blockchain through. And Steam itself, the company Steam Inc. that created the blockchains behind the initial idea of pushing this out, have refreshed their Steam.io site, and it looks much nicer and explains more of what the whole smart media token is all about. In the meantime, Bitcoin is on a wild ride up into the $7,000 range. So financially speaking, in the near term, purchasing a bunch of Steam with my Bitcoin does not appear to be from the outside a great choice. Now, since I wasn't planning on selling the Bitcoin, I was planning on I'm going to hold probably at least 27 Bitcoin at some point. I was not worried about it. What I did like is that, now, had I waited a little bit longer and converted that into Steam now, I would have a lot more Steam power, but whatever. During that same amount of time, I have earned 160 Steam. And so, it's quite interesting. Quite an interesting little concept, because 700 followers of, you know, whatever reason they decided to click on my name, is more followers than I had on my Facebook, on my YouTube. I don't know how many followers I have on Anchor, or listeners, or whatever we call each other. My point being, in 2 months, I surpassed all of my other social media in making new connections. Now, have I directly communicated and interacted with all 700 of these people? No. I don't think so. But I see a lot of the names in there that I do see active and participating, that I've gotten to know just a little bit. And so it's such an interesting time. You know, if after 2 months, the first month I put a lot of effort into it, and the second month I've kind of taken a little more of a easier pace at it. I kind of went overboard and spending so much time there because it was so much fun creating these posts and earning these rewards. Made social media fun and gamified it also.